facility.
Senator Sharp.
Okay.
I'm still catching up.
So the payment of $1,751,515 is on the $33 million, not the $30 million?
Correct.
And you're saying you might get enough other financing to where you wouldn't need the $3 million?
Correct. I would hope that would be the case, Senator Sharp. It doesn't make sense to me to bond for that if we don't have to.
You know, I don't mind amending line three to, and the $1,751,515 to say, in, except that if B does not materialize, the amount they'll pay is $1,005,000 or whatever it works out to be. But you know, not to exceed means it could go down to zero to me. I don't see anything else in here that says there's any guarantees on what Alaska Housing's going to get, except that one line that guarantees that amount will be paid. If it says not to exceed, there's a lot of negotiation room in there to negotiate between zero and whatever that exceed is, no matter what the interest rate is. Am I wrong in that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sharp, I never considered that an option.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Sharp, I'm assuming that whatever loan agreement we would negotiate with the university would have some sort of a minimum, or would basically follow the structure of the subsidized loan as it's laid out here.
Yeah, I agree. I don't mind establishing artificial ceiling, but it's way below cost of the money. But I'd like a guarantee on the bottom too, above zero. And that's where I'm coming from.
I understand.
I don't care what it is, but if you think that the 1751 can be reduced by whatever the debt service is on the $3 million, let's put it in there and say that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sharp, isn't that in the loan documents themselves? I mean, we've attached what are the initial documents attached, are currently attached to the fiscal note that's with the bill. But don't the documents themselves between the university and AHFC at the time of the bonding establish the contractual relationship for the minimum amounts that were paid? That's been my assumption. I didn't think it was necessary in the bill. They wouldn't let the bonds unless we could guarantee $1,005,000 minimum to cover our costs.
Well, I guess my question to you is, what does Senator Rieger's amendment do? We've already got it at exact amount. It couldn't exceed $1,715,000. That's what he wants us to put it in there. All it does is allow it to be less than the exact amount. So if it's worry about it not exceeding that, we've already got it in the bill. And if you want to,
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't recommending
proposed agreements attached to fiscal notes have a way of going away if it's not in statute or being severely modified. Like intent language disappears with the stroke of a pen. And I don't care how you do it. It seems like changing to will exceed is a one-way street.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rieger.
It's clearly intentional. If we can find a way to make greater use of arbitrage and give a break to the students' rates at the dorms, it is opening that avenue. It's leaving the door open for possible creative finance if it turns out that there's any way that it can be done.
Compared to the other uses of arbitrage, it sounds good to me. Is there further debate on Senator Rieger's amendment? Your amendment is before us.
I'm not up to speed on that. Could you repeat your amendment?
Senator Rieger, would you repeat it?
On page 2, line 3, insert the clause, the University of Alaska will pay, you'd insert the words, an amount not to exceed.
Question is the adoption of Senator Rieger's amendment.
I object.
All those in favor of Senator Rieger's amendment, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Motion passes 4-3. What are the wishes of the committee with regard to the bill? Senator,
I just have a question. Maybe I missed the first part of this here, but if the debt service is 2.7 and the university is going to pay 1.7,
not to exceed.
Not to exceed. Well, what happens to the other 1 million? Is that?
That's the HFC subsidy, Mr. Chairman, Senator Zara.
Are we doing this with any other projects anywhere around the state?
Not yet.
Mr. Chairman, no, not currently like this that I'm aware of.
But we have time yet.
Do we have a motion?
I'd move that we report.
We have a motion to report.
163 out and the accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to pass out the committee substitute. Are there objections?
With individual recommendations.
Without objection, the CS is moved from committee. If we can take just a minute to deal with one more bill, we had a question. Let's see, where's mine?
Is that 112?
There was a question on Senate Bill 112 with regard to any cumulative effect. And the answer to that was that there is a floor. We have Senator Lehman's staff. She can explain that to us if we don't have anybody else that needs to. I think we also have Ken Boyd on the teleconference. But Annette, would you just give us the answer to that thing? If we can move that bill, it would get it out of here.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Annette Kreitz, and I'm staff to the Senate Resources Committee. I'm not aware of any cumulative effect that appears in this bill that would allow for a floor lower than 5% than what's in the bill.
And that's what the department
testified.
That was
what testified. The intent was, Mr. Chairman. And Ken Boyd is online, and he might be able to add to that.
Ken Boyd, can you give us a quick answer to that question?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Ken Boyd. I'm the director of the Division of Oil and Gas. Within the bill itself, Mr. Chairman, there is no opportunity to go below 5%. However, if you took the opportunity to take this bill and for 10 years have a 5% royalty, you could then at some point in time apply for a royalty reduction for HB 207 and the B provision, the extended life of the field provision of HB 207, and then you could reduce the royalty to a floor of 3%. But that is not a provision of this bill.
Okay,
that's a weakness in 207.
That, again, you would be using two different parts of law, Mr. Chairman. You would, let's say you got the discovery royalty, and it was granted for 10 years, and it went to 5%, which is what the bill provides for. There's no way to get below that. But at some point in time in the life of the field, even though you had this discovery royalty provision, you could apply under HB 207, and if you were successful in your application and made a case for it, a clear and convincing showing, as the bill provides, you could then potentially go to a floor of 3%, and that's as low as it could get.
But
Senator Sharp.
But that would have to be a separate application and get separate approval and justification, and would have to occur between the 0 and 10 years that this bill provides for the 5%. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that was pretty hard to hear, but if I understood the question correctly, would it have to be a separate application? The question is yes.
Okay, are there further questions, Senator Rieger?
I had one other question. Ken, in the old discovery royalty credit provisions that used to be in statute, were the leases upon which those were applied issued after the existence of this discovery royalty credit was part of the laws governing leasing, or was the discovery royalty credit provision added after or applied to leases that were issued, applied after the fact and applied to already outstanding leases?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rieger, the discovery royalty provision came from the federal law when Alaska became a state. And from 1959 on, all leases issued had a discovery royalty provision. The provision was repealed the law was repealed in 1969, just prior to lease sale 23, which was the so-called billion-dollar lease sale, I think, with the recognition of the legislature that, hey, wait a minute, we're leasing all this stuff around Prudhoe Bay. We don't need to have discovery royalties for people to do this kind of work. The regulations were then repealed in 1979. So the leases were all the leases were in effect from that in that period of time have a discovery royalty provision.
Further questions? Senator Sharp, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move a CS for SB 112 resources estimated individual recommendations.
Without objection, the bill is moved out of committee with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal notes. If we can get a quorum, we are going to try and come back and go further down this schedule, starting at 1:30.
1:30, Senate Finance.
We are in recess.
To talk my appointments.